some people, I think, wonder sometimes, can their family do that? Well, it just takes practice. Everybody okay?
Yes, sir.
Just takes effort.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
It's a four-letter word, W-O-R-K.
That's right.
You can do that.
Yes, sir.
You just got to work at it. It's like people, all the time, people say, well, I don't really know how to do this. I don't really know how to do that. Can I just say this? Listen, it's 2020. There's this thing called YouTube. I could fix a John Deere tractor if I had to. Just throwing that out there. If you don't believe me, my wife is able to fix the blower in the dash of our Camry. She, true story. She's a good wife. I just told her, I said, go fix the car. So now fix the car. Actually, I was 320 pounds and I couldn't get underneath the dashboard, so she fit. It was a marvelous thing. There's two lessons I learned. One, don't ever buy used auto parts off eBay. Secondly, if you have to make your wife do it a second time, go buy a brand new part. Anyway, people always think they can't accomplish things, they can't do things, but to be honest, we don't try. I've heard people say, I couldn't fast. You never tried. We have all-night prayer meetings. There'll be four or five people show up after about a church of 200. You know, a lot of people would say, well, I just couldn't stay up all night. And I'm like, no, you just couldn't stay up all night to do that. Uh-huh. You stay up all night to go fishing or up with your buddies or playing poker or something else. But, oh, sorry, did I say that out loud? You just can't go to all-night prayer meeting. That's all. Well, we've had a lot of preaching this week. Some of it's been bad, well, a lot of it. Some of it's been mediocre. Every once in a while, it was tolerable. But we've had a lot of preaching. Sometimes it's hard to know what to say next, what more to say. We've only preached here, I don't know, probably 50 messages, Black Creek, somewhere in the, you know, probably close to Brother John, not quite, but literally, I'm sure by now over 100 messages. They're all the same thing over and over again. But you wonder if anybody's listening. But I'm convinced of this. It's the goodness of God that leadeth to repentance.
Yes, sir.
He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I'm still just convinced that really people just don't want to deal with their sin. They just don't want to deal with it.
Yes, sir.
He's a merciful God. He's not cruel. He's never been cruel. He's merciful.
Hey.
Your pastor at Black Creek, your pastor used that illustration of the storm drain in the sewer. Little boy losing that quarter. I think of it often dealing with people. They just don't want to look in there. They just don't want to come clean with God. One of the joys of being a Christian is that you can come clean.
Yes.
With God about everything.
Amen.
Everything.
That's right.
There's nothing hid from Him. And you can come clean with Him. As I travel, I watch people that can't hide the fact that they have two lives. When you ask them, of course, they say, no, we don't. But they do. They have beach life. They have church life.
Yes, sir.
Your pastor's aware of this at Black Creek Folk. I probably told one of the Cassiolas before, but there's a man that many years in ministry. One day I was going away for a couple of days with some fellows up to the mountains of Tennessee. He made a statement to me. He said, well, brother, he said, just let your hair down. And I remember just thinking, well, I don't have my hair up for one thing, but I was trying to read into that. I was like, what does it mean, let my hair down? Do I stop being a Christian for 3 days? Do I stop being a Christian for a couple of days and just kind of cut loose? And, I mean, just really be myself? I mean, is that what he's really saying? Because it'd be impossible to do.
That's right.
It'd be impossible to just sever my ties with God and then reacquaint myself with Him.
That's right.
Yeah, I think a lot of people live that way.
Sure.
July, they get reacquainted with God. Late June, they get reacquainted with God, and they sever those ties somewhere about August. And October comes around and we get reacquainted with God. By Christmas, the ties are severed again. Or Brother David asked me last year to hold that meeting not too long before Christmas, and I agreed to do it. But I said, Brother, are you crazy? I said, nobody has the slightest bit of an interest in God. Why? Christmas is coming.
That's right.
So we had the meeting anyway. You know what he told me when we got done? He said, you were right. You ever seen people getting ready to go on vacation? It's their last Sunday at church before vacation. Not paying a lick of attention. Not paying a bit of attention in the house of God. You know why? Their minds are somewhere else, their thoughts are somewhere else, because the heart is somewhere else.
That's right.
I love it. Brother Harold Seitler said many years ago, somebody asked him about getting he and Mrs. Seitler a vacation. We're going to 1 Kings 17. And he said, well, why would I want to do that? And they said, well, just give you a break and give you and Mrs. Seitler a break. And he said, well, why would I want to do that? And they said, well, you know, Pastor, you preach every week and you do this and this, and, you know, you just may be good for you all to have a break. And he just simply said this. He said, no, I enjoy preaching.
Amen.
Friend, Brother Ron Shank, some of you know, helped train me in ministry. He was not a pastor, not a God-called preacher. He was a great help to me. Brother Ron Shank used to make it a point, when he did go away, they left on Monday, and they came back on Saturday morning. You know why? He said, I have duties at church. He said, I have duties at church. The things of God are so vague to most people today. There's no desire, there's no want. They're secondary to pleasure. They're secondary to their life. I'm going to look at the man of God with the Lord's help tonight. You're not going to see pleasure. You're not going to see relaxation. You're not going to see enjoyment. But what you're going to find is a man of God. Elijah, need I say more, the Tishbite, who's of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years. And this is what he said, according to my word. It's a man of God. And the word of the Lord came unto him, the man of God. The word of the Lord came to Elijah. And the word of the Lord not only came to him, but then the Lord tells us what the word of the Lord said to him. The word of the Lord spake to him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. We talked about that the other night. Many of you were there. God taking care of Elijah. God fed him. Heavenly food. God met his need. It was at the command of God, at the word of the Lord, that the ravens fed him, because God commanded them. It was at the command of the Lord that Elijah went by faith. He moved at the word of the Lord. He moved by the word of God. We see today there's a lot of movement in people, but we don't see a lot of people moving at the word of the Lord. He changed location at the word of the Lord. He did unusual things at the word of the Lord. Let me say this. He was a peculiar man, but it wasn't because he leaped and shouted and ran in circles and barked like a dog and turned cartwheels. It was a peculiar man in that he obeyed God, and whatever God required of him, he took to heart to do what God spake to him at his word. why the word of the Lord had come to Elijah. God had spake to him, and he responded to the voice of God. We see down in verse 5, so he went. And what did he do? He went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went to the brook Cherith, and he sat and he waited for the ravens to feed him. In that, you see a call from God. You see a sending from God. But can I say this? You also see a settling with God. When you know it's God's voice, God will send you. When you know it's God's voice, God will establish you. Can I say this? When you know it's the voice of God, nothing will shake you when you've responded to the voice of the Lord. But when we don't heed his voice and we do not hear his voice and we do not respond to his voice, can I say to you, there is that chance that we may not hear that voice again. Not because he's left to forsake us, but because we've forsaken him.
Yes.
His sheep know his voice. Why? Because they hear his voice and they know him. They know the voice of the shepherd. And because of that, they respond only to one thing. They respond to the word of the Lord. Let me start in Genesis. I'm just looking at a couple of places, and I just seem to go here often in Genesis 3. But again, we see the voice of the Lord. I realize God spake before this, but this is the first time we see him communicating with man directly. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Now I want you to notice this. Adam heard the voice of the Lord. What did he do? Hid himself. He went into the trees to hide from God. So the Lord simply says, where art thou? But Adam came clean with God. For he responded to the Lord and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid. How many people hear the voice of the Lord and are afraid? So what do? They hide themselves. They hide behind professions. They hide behind religion. They hide behind a spouse. They hide behind difficulties. They hide behind troubled lives. And say this, I didn't hear that voice. I didn't hear that voice. That voice was not for me. As a preacher of the gospel, you'd be amazed how many times people come up to you. And as we were talking yesterday, some of us, they misquote you. They misrepresent you. They certainly misunderstand you. But the one thing that's troubling is when God has spoken to them, they've missed what God was trying to tell them.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Why? Because they've hid themselves. They hide behind their fears. They hide behind their past. They hide behind their life. They hide behind their troubles. And God's trying to speak to them. And they don't want to be confronted by God. I hid myself because I was naked, uncovered. The Lord says to Adam, he said this, who told thee that thou wast naked? Mm-hmm. Hast thou eaten of the tree? Not only that, but he says that where I commanded thee, thou shouldest not eat. Again, man's not going to be confronted with this sin. Adam's not going to be confronted with what he's done. He's hidden from God. God has found Adam, if you will, by speaking to him again. He confronts Adam by bringing him out. Adam finally tells him what he's done. And here's where things get a little out of sorts for people at the voice of the Lord. Somebody else gets blamed.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
For who we are.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Sure does, brother.
My dad was horrible to me. My mother was awful to me. I had a troubled childhood. I was abused. I was beaten by people. I was abused by my teachers. I, Lord, have hidden from you. And yes, you found me. Yes, I ate of the tree. Yes, I partook of the fruit which you forbid me to eat. But the woman that thou gavest me. Somebody else's fault.
That's right.
Yes. Social injustice. White privilege. Call it what you will. It's somebody's fault.
Right. Yes, sir.
I'm making $30 million a year starting quarterback in the NFL. But somebody has to be held accountable for how I was treated as a young person and how I was scoffed as a young. I remember the bully in ninth grade that picked on me. And somebody has to be held accountable. That's just the thinking of this world.
Yep,
sure is, brother.
It's a spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. It's why men will not come to repentance. It's not my fault. Someone else did this to me. Someone else caused me to sin. Somebody else brought this on me. Don't you understand, Lord, the woman that thou gavest me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. Yes, I did what you said I did. But somebody else made me do it.
That's right. Yes.
You ever seen testimony, or maybe you've read testimony of cohorts in crime? And the police, the justice system have always learned there's only one person that's actually guilty of the crime. Because everybody else was just sucked into it.
Yeah.
Right, Brother Dale?
Yeah.
Your Honor, I wouldn't have been there. However,
yeah.
He said we were going down to 7-Eleven, and I got in the car, and I didn't know he was going to 7-Eleven with a gun, and he handed me a gun, but I thought we were playing cap guns. You know, and nobody's guilty.
That's right, brother. That's exactly right.
He made me do it. Mm-hmm. He's the one that brought this on me. What does every abuser say? She started it. He started it. What does every domestic assault? How does it end up in court? Because she drove me to it, or he drove me to it. No accountability. No responsibility. I didn't bring this on myself. Somebody else did this to me.
Yes, sir.
Again, let's follow the sequence with Adam and Eve. The Lord spoke to them. The voice of the Lord came walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam heard. Adam hid himself. The Lord says, where art thou? And by the way, that is the mercy of God.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you.
That Adam said, where art thou? Or excuse me, the Lord told Adam, where art thou? That's the mercy of God. Mm-hmm. Adam finally confesses what he's done. Says, I've done it, I'm guilty, but the woman did it to me. So the Lord turns to the woman. What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Mm-hmm. Where does the expression come from? The devil made me do it.
That's right.
Can you stand before God with that? Mm. The devil made me do that. The temptation was too great. I didn't want to be this way. I tried not to be this way. And again, the excuses start.
Yes, sir.
The excuses continue. And so The serpent beguiled me. Yes, you know, bear with me, but just give me a little bit of liberty. I was a little bit silly, but I mean, he beguiled me. No, you disobeyed God.
That's it. That is it.
And there's nobody's fault.
That's right.
There's no finger pointing.
No.
You have disobeyed God.
Yes, sir.
And yet God in his mercy continued to deal with Adam and Eve. And when you go back and you realize the reason that the voice of God was walking in the garden in the cool of the day is because God was looking for Adam and Eve, because he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he was there. People say, why am I hearing this voice? Because Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, Paul said, of whom I am chief. That's why we hear his voice. That's why God speaks to us. That's why God deals with us. But when you go hide, then God has to search you out. When you're in denial, God has to search you out. When you can't look at self and say, it was me, then God has to remind you again, there's nobody else's fault but you. But then God in his mercy points to one place for you, and he points to the cross of Calvary and says, but my son paid the debt for that sin.
Yes.
And because of Calvary, I'll forgive you of that sin. But you got to be honest with God. So here is the cross. Here's forgiveness. Here's the joy of the Lord. Here's the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Here is washing. Here is cleansing. Here is purification, justification, sanctification. Salvation is in Christ. But we're just not bad enough to need that. And a paraphrase, this is etymology, but bear with me. It's just fruit. It's just fruit. It's just $20 I stole. It's just somebody's life I destroyed. It's just a woman. It's just a man. It's just somebody even worse than me. Yet that one offense makes us guilty of the whole. It was just fruit. No, it was everything, Adam. It was just fruit. No, Eve, it was everything. God put you in a perfect place, in a perfect environment, in a perfect world, in a perfect garden. And it wasn't enough. Just a little bit more. We'll behold good and evil. We'll be like the Most High God. And they partook. And then hid. And I always like what Brother Herbert said, and you just bear with me on this. I'm not going to point out to you, but I'm going to tell you what he said. The Lord took those rams and slew in front of Adam and Eve. That's what the Herbert always said. And he clothed them. And he preached the gospel to them. And forever, they would know the blood had to be shed for their sin. Mm-hmm. I'd never dispute with that with Brother Herbert.
No, sir.
No. They would know there had to be blood shed.
Right.
For their sin. We get accused, I talked even this morning some, we get accused of a bloody gospel. So as Zipporah was telling Moses, for thou art a bloody man to be. It is a gospel that's a bloody gospel. Because God's required the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But see, we're in a day now when people don't need their sins remitted. Bear with me. They just need a little bit of forgiveness. They just need ease of their conscience. They just need a little bit of relief. They need just a little bit of wiggle room, just enough they can feel better about themselves. And I've said it so many times, even here, they take their sins, they bundle them up. They're like the hobo. They make this little package. And this is what they say. Here's my sins. And they take their sins and they lay them on the altar before God. And this is what they say. Lord, forgive me of all my sins. And forgive me, but I can't help but think the Lord always, without fail, says this. Which ones? Lord, you know I'm coming to you. You know I'm coming with a clean heart. You know I'm coming honestly to you. Here's all of my sins. Take all of my sins. I want to lay all my sins before you. Which ones?
That's right.
The really unclean ones? The sodomy? The molestation? The murder? The ones society feels are vile beyond vile? The unclean thoughts? The wickedness of men's hearts continually before God. Are we going to bring that before God and bundle it up and simply label it along with everything and say, here's my sins? Or is God going to deal with you?
That's right.
What did God deal with Adam about? What he'd done. Just thou eat of the tree? You're guilty of all, Adam. Didst thou eat of the tree, Adam? Well, I did. But. Cain, did you murder your brother? Nice if he followed his parents' example. Well, I did. But you loved him more than me. You accepted him. You rejected me. But. Lord, will you forgive me? Yes, I'll forgive you. Then take all my sins and forgive me of all of my sins. Which ones? The lying? Stealing? Abuses themselves with mankind? Effeminate? Covetous? Whoremongering, adultery. How about that maliciousness?
Yes.
Having malice towards others. Being vengeful. You want to talk about that? No, so what do? We throw them in this bundle. We drop on the altar. And we don't let God deal with it ever again. But you know what the problem is? I hear pastor all the time say this. You don't let God deal with you. Monday, a person under the umbrella of this ministry was in tears. The Lord impressed very greatly upon my heart. You go say something. Some of you know you've been in my presence in tears. I'm not brutal. I'm not ignorant about it. I'm not a jerk. I'll leave people alone if they're crying, but I'll also go put my finger in your face if I need to.
That's right.
I said, you'd better find out the root of why. That's exactly what I said. You know why? I've seen a face concerned over something I've done. Not with who I am. I see people's faces over the things they've done, not with who they are. Where did it come from? Came out of a wicked heart.
Yes, sir.
Let's go to Amnon, one of my favorite subjects in the Bible, because he is the sin of today.
Sure is, brother. Yes, he is.
But Amnon had a friend. His name was Jonadab, and he was a subtle man. Amnon, why did you force your sister and lay with her? Jonadab talked me into it. into the story for some people. What's in the story for Amnon? He's dead. Why is he dead? He wouldn't repent. Why did he do what he did? Because it was in his heart to do it.
Right. Sure thing.
I don't want to do this. I've seen him in the courts weep and sob, and I didn't mean to. No, it was in your heart to. Your Honor, but I was drunk. I've seen him sentenced to life. Them go, but I was drunk, Your Honor. Judges, no, it's in your heart to do it. The drunkenness has pulled away the shackles that kept you from reality, that you wouldn't do such a thing.
That's exactly right.
But it was in your heart to do it.
Yes, sir, it sure was.
Baby killers. It's a horrible thing. By the way, I would stand with you to condemn any baby killer in the land. We got a baby. Somebody kills their baby, if the state rules such, and that's the law of the land, I would have no trouble with them stringing them up by a piano wire.
Yes, sir.
Wouldn't bother me one bit. If that's the law of the land. The law of the land is they get 10 years in prison. They get 10 years in prison. It's the law of the land. What's worse than a baby killer? What's worse than a baby killer? A hypocrite.
Yes, sir.
Pharisee. Liar. What's worse than a child molester? Being religious, preaching to others.
Yes.
Dying lost. But this is what we'd say, but you know what they are. But God knows what you are.
That's right.
We know what they've done. Well, you know what you've done. More than that, God knows what you've done. So what is God looking for? When his voice comes, you let God deal with you about it. Do you know what you say? Guilty. No, it was Jonadab. It was Jonadab's fault. Proverbs 7, that young man goes down to that woman's house. It was that dart through his liver, a slow and a painful death. It was for his soul. He exchanged his soul for a woman. Is he going to blame the woman? Is he the first man in history that's done it? Is he the last man in history that's done it? No. But she seduced me. No, it's because you were simple. You lacked understanding. And like a, can I say this kindly? Like a panting dog led to water. You woofed your way to her house. And that dart struck your liver. It is destroying your soul. You're going to blame her? She seduced me. He seduced me. He tricked me. No, your heart was willing to be tricked. We were talking the other night, and I had to wrestle with some of these things. I was talking about that loss of innocence. I told you, Pastor, the Lord showed me something in that day to trigger with me. And the Lord just said, you're going to deal with losing your innocence tonight. And I didn't know what I was going to say. I was my little boy back there. And I thought we were the perfect example of the innocent.
Yes, sir.
But not for long.
Right.
Now, I had to go back and look at some of the things in my life. That I had, and I told your pastor some things that I wouldn't say publicly. I had to deal with that caused me to lose my innocence. But it's not what was done to me. It's what I did with what was done.
That's right. Yes, sir. Yep, exactly right.
You all know each other? What one of those things was? As a grade A student, I got moved from fourth to fifth grade, skipped a grade. Never missed a test, never got a bad grade. I wasn't smart, but I wasn't dumb. And I went to public school, and I was about 3 years ahead of public school. But because I looked dumb, and because my clothes had holes in them, and we weren't the cleanest people because we didn't have enough money for always to take baths, I go to public school, and they put me in remedial classes. And they put me in there. Let's just be honest. Just guess who's in remedial classes? Mm. The people that cut your heart out for a quarter. Mm. They said, well, we think we'd best if he would. And you know what they told my mom? We think he'd get picked on too much in the little higher learning classes. So I'm in remedial English. And I had basically came in second place in the spelling bee. And only because the principal's grandson, I didn't come in first place. And they had some kind of little thing. And I got bitter about it and angry like good Christians do. But I knew English. I knew how to spell. I knew grammar. They put me in remedial English class, and I remember they gave me a book assignment. It was such a simple book. And I just thought to myself, this is just childish. This is ridiculous. I didn't do the book report. This came to me the other day, and I was sitting there in the class, and kind of ironic, the same fellow that I'm going to tell you a story about got to preach to him later on in life, when we were in our 30s, got to preach to him. Well, thank God for that. Came to the house of God and heard me preach. He's like, are you the same Tim McVeigh I went to school with, man? I'm like, yeah, it's me. He says, pass forward your book reports. He turned around, looks at me, and I went, I don't have one. He goes, cool. You know what happened to me? Cool. Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Nobody even cares about this stuff. You know what happened? I went to high school. I was still ahead. Didn't matter. Nobody cared. I got kicked out of English class my senior year. They sent me to art to draw pictures because English teacher didn't want me in his class anymore. I passed. I'm not making it up. I passed English without going to English class. I got a 60 on my term paper and didn't turn anything in. I'm not making this up. I was Dexter Manley at Clear Spring High School, except I knew how to read. They just wanted to get me through. I realized nobody cared.
That's right. Mm.
I got by with it. And it destroyed me. Mm. I got by with it. They'd call my mom. My sister would answer the phone. I'd be like, no, pretend your mom. Pretend your mom. Oh, yeah, it's Warren McVeigh, yeah. Yeah, I know. I talk with Tim, and she's laughing. I missed 19 days my senior year. They finally said, if Tim misses any more days, we're going to have to hold him back. He's going to go to summer school. He's not going to graduate. So I just got a photocopy of the doctor's permission slip, started signing my mom's name on it. I hope y'all doing okay. Listen, don't learn from me except for the positive side of this, okay? I missed about 35 days. If the sun was shining, we'd be fishing. They didn't know any better. They called the house. You know, me and my sister answered the phone. Did you know that Tim missed school? He was sick. Okay, boom, that was it. Hung up the phone. Didn't matter. Nobody cared. I got away. You know what? It became my life. I got away with it, so it became my life.
Yeah.
Why does the perverse man continue in perversion? Because he got away with it.
Right.
Why does the man that watches pornography keep watching? Because he got away with it.
Yes, sir.
He didn't get caught. Why do fornicators keep fornicating? Because they get away with it.
That's right, brother.
Why does the adulterer commit adultery again? Because he got away with it. The wife never found out. He got away with it. And you can tell scary stories of diseases and babies dying because of disease. And you tell all these awful stories about how they didn't get away with it. And they were just sickly and they went blind and they lost organs. And you go with all those stories. But the reality is we don't need that. When the word of the Lord comes and deals, when we deal with God about it. We deal with God about it where we are.
But we don't want to admit that we didn't get away with it. So God deals, God speaks, God confronts us. And then we're right where some of you are. Then we're in a state of wrestling. Can I really admit it? Can I really be honest about it? Or am I going to keep blaming other people? Why is there gnashing of teeth in hell? Mm-hmm. I think some of it is the bitterness of people that blamed everybody else.
Yes, sir.
I got family members in hell tonight. Some did all I could. Some, I didn't do anything. Should they hate me? It's understandable if they do. But they had the same chance I had.
That's right.
And a man pretty close to me, I'm going to the details, but when I first got saved, I wanted so badly to go talk to him. And finally, I got the nerve to invite him to church, and he cussed and told me a dirty joke and asked for a beer. I said, well, I'm not doing that anymore. And he cussed and made fun and told me another dirty joke. And I remember thinking, I'll come back and talk to him again. I got saved in April. In November, he died sitting in his kitchen at 4 o'clock in the evening, sitting in his chair. I never got to go talk to him again. But he still went to hell.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He still went to hell. It's not scare tactics. It's not scary stories. It's not telling you little stories of little coffins and boys running their cars into trees and bursting into flames and burning into flames and their head busted open like a watermelon and all the scare tactics. You know, it's the voice of the Lord when it comes to you and speaks to you. It's what you do with the voice of God.
Yes, helplessness, right? Come on.
What is God telling me? The voice of the Lord came to Elijah. You know what Elijah did? Elijah moved. Elijah went to where he was supposed to go, and the voice of the Lord came and fed him there. And the voice of the Lord, when the brook dried up, the raven stopped flying in, God came to him, and God spake to him again, God moved him again. He went to the widow woman's house, he obeyed the voice of the Lord. God sustained him at the voice of the Lord. He followed the voice of God. And finally, that widow woman, into that chapter, she saw the miracles God had done. Elijah was looking for the voice of the Lord when her son died, and he came to God and he prayed over that boy, and that boy's life was returned to him, and that woman called him a man of God. She said, for thou hast heard the voice of the Lord. She knew that God had spoken to Elijah. She knew that God had spoken through Elijah. She knew that he knew God's voice. When I was lost, I knew the voice of God when it was clear enough. There was no other voice like it. But I didn't hear it as a son. I heard it as a sinner. Because I heard it as a sinner, I despised it.
Yes, sir.
I despised the conviction. I despised the pricking. 100%. I despised the hurt.
Yes, sir.
I despised the shame. I despised that God would speak to me in that manner. But I knew it wasn't just man's voice. It's a 16-year-old boy. I remember that old evangelist, Wesleyan Methodist preacher, came. He's standing on the edge of the platform. He looks about where Timothy's sitting. He looks at me and he says, come here. I walked up, ashamed, so embarrassed. Everybody's watching me. He puts his arms around me. He hugs me. He says, son, God loves you and I love you. You need to be saved. He sent me back to the pew. You know why I remember it today? Because it was the voice of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Remember, as I went back, just people all across the auditorium weeping. My mom weeping. I began to weep. But I despised it. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yes, sir.
We told my sister, who does he think he is? How dare he embarrass me like that? And I've been preaching long enough now to know there's times people leave the house of God. They despise the man of God.
Yes, they do.
They despise what he said. Oh, who does he think he is? Mm-hmm. Who is he to preach? Come on now, so loud.
Who is he to tell us how to live? Who is he to speak these things? Who is he to raise his voice at me? Who is he to say that?
That's right.
I remember to this day, I can picture his face. But he had a message from the Lord for me as a lost teenage boy. But I wouldn't heed it. Tim McVeigh, why do you steal? Because my friends do. Why do you lie? That's a tough one to get over, isn't it? We can say it because my friends do. Because my dad lies. Because I was raised in a lie. Tim McVeigh, why do you lie? Can't find an excuse for that. Oh, I know. I'm a liar. That's why I lie.
Yeah, amen.
Exactly right.
Why are you a fornicator? Well, everybody else is doing it. No, it's because your heart's filled with fornication. Mm-hmm. Why are you so filled with lust? Because your heart's full of lust.
Yes, sir.
Why do you curse? Why do you take the Lord's name in vain? Because it's in your heart to do so.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Now listen, I'll give people a little bit of leniency in that. Because you do repeat the things you hear. Mm. You're around it at work, slips out of your mouth once in a while. And it's an awful thing. I said, it's an awful thing.
Sure thing.
God hates it.
Amen.
And I've had to go back with tears and apologize to people that despise me anyway. Mm. I had to go back and apologize. Eat that crow while it's warm. For saying something I should have never said. But it's in your heart to do it. It's a vile thing.
Yes, it sure is.
Smoking cigarettes was a sin for me. You know why? Because I was taught not to.
Amen.
So it was a sin for me. You just go ahead and take that. Every liberal preacher that gives that liberty, go ahead and take that and tell them that.
Yes, sir.
Because I was taught it was wrong. We even had a guy that came in one time that was his specialty in the Methodist movement. He had a little vacuum machine and he had little filters and he'd put tobacco and he'd light it over here and he'd suck it into big vacuum tubes and he'd show the filter and then he'd show your lungs and then he'd talk about your body being a temple of the Holy Ghost and how you destroy your lungs. That's God's temple. And I saw that from the time I was a little boy up. I remember seeing that stuff. So when I started wanting to crave a cigarette, it was lustful.
Yes, sir.
I said it was lustful.
Yes, sir.
Saw an ad one day. Can you imagine today? I saw an ad one day. It said, send this coupon and get two cans of Skull free. Something in my mind was, that would be a good idea. Two polyps later, a bunch of root canals later. I thought, that's pretty stupid.
Yes, sir.
I was raised better.
Come on.
I was raised to not do those things. This is for all those people out there that, well, you know, the wine there in the Bible is wine, and you know, you go for your stomach's sake when you're sorrowful and you're near dying and everything else. You know, you give a strong drink when they're dying. But can I say beer is neither strong drink nor wine? It's a curse on the American society.
Come on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Just throw that out there.
Yep. Amen. Come on.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because you associate everything. When you live that lifestyle, somebody just say amen, help me out. When you live that lifestyle, you associate everything with
that's
drink.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You have a birthday party this week. I'll bring the beer.
Yep. Everything.
It's a 2-year-old's birthday party. I'll bring the beer. We're going fishing. I'll bring the beer. We're going hunting. I'll bring the beer. You guys want to go to the mountains? Hey, I'll bring the beer. It's a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. It is the American lifestyle
sure
of
is.
Drinking beer.
Yep.
And I was raised better than that. I said, I was raised better than that. Mm-hmm. But what do people do? They put it to their lips. Is it wrong to have one or two beers with a meal?
Come on.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, preach
it. Is it wrong to have 10? You can draw a number? That's what people say. Is it wrong to be having one or two beers with a meal? Okay, I'll let that slide. Have you ever done that? You ever drink one or two beers? I'm not going to get stupid. I used to take my own glass to the bar.
That's right.
I was known for it. They come in and laugh and charge me like $8 to fill it up. I was just, that's what a fool I was. Raised better, raised in the house of God.
Amen.
American life. So why do people do that? Because it's in their heart.
That's what they are. Mm-hmm. That's right. It's what they are.
Yep.
It's in their heart.
Absolutely.
I went back to a couple parties after I got saved. Didn't touch a drop. Didn't touch a drop. I remember them saying, you know, "Ah, McVeigh, you can't quit. Ah, McVeigh, nobody quits. Ah, McVeigh, you'll be back. McVeigh's only going to church for a girl." 23 years, I don't know if they're still waiting or not.
That's right.
When the voice of the Lord came to me.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
He let me know.
Yes.
That's right.
I knew dudes who used to dress and drag for fun. The first time I saw him after I got saved, I recoiled. It was repulsive to me.
Amen.
Man putting on women's clothes. Woman putting on man's clothes.
Yes, sir.
I remember just absolutely reviling it. It's a curse on this society.
Yes, it sure is.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely a curse.
We got them all over town where I live at. Men carry, sorry, men carrying purses that aren't their wives. I want to clarify that. I see them all over the place. That little pocketbook. Let the hair grow out long.
Ah, pretty.
Beautiful.
Cute.
A little bit of makeup, work boots. There's one in town, I'm not making that up.
Yep.
He wants so bad to be a girl, you know why it's in his heart.
That's what it is, brother. Yes, sir.
It's filthy. Mm-hmm. It's wicked. Now, listen, some of your testimonies as a little child, the abuse, the horror, the awfulness. Now listen, some of you testify how you became that person. You were shaped because of that sin, because of that awfulness. It shaped you and made you what you were.
That's right.
But then God revealed that's what you were because that's what was in your heart.
That's right, brother.
And look at my own life, being raised in the house of God, being raised in the King James Bible believing home, being raised with the King James Bible beside my bed. And I spit on it. And I cursed it. And I defiled it. Never physically, just in my heart.
That's right. Of course.
And the word of the Lord came to me again. 1997. I didn't run high. I just let God confront me face to face. I told your pastor this. I later told Brother John this. I told Pastor Cassiola this back in May. I didn't have anything to hide. Because everything I did was out in the open.
That's right.
That's right.
That's how crude and how vile and how wretched I was.
Absolutely.
They stuff from some people. Most people knew what I was. When the first time I pulled the church parking lot, fell over to high school, got out of his car, looked at me, turned on, locked the door, went to church. Walked in the house of God, people looking at me. I felt about nervous. What in the world's he going to do? Why is he here? Everything's out in the open.
Yep.
So when God dealt with me, I couldn't hide it.
That's right.
Well, thank God for that.
Amen.
All week, some of you have been hearing that voice. Still trying to hide. My wife and I have a thing we do. We pledge to each other. We're not going to delete texts. We're not going to delete phone calls.
That's right.
And if I have to, I'm going to tell you about it.
That's right.
That's a promise we've made to each other.
Yep, that's right.
Mm-hmm. History on the phone, we don't touch it.
That's right.
I had to go to her and say, "Honey, you may see this on the phone." I was on Drudge Report and clicked on the link, and I was pretty stupid. So I couldn't read the Drudge Report. Yep. An article about Bill Clinton, of course, there's news women on the other side.
horrible thing. We made that promise to each other.
That's
right. But I did say this. You know how some of my pastor friends are. I'll let you know if I have to delete something. I'm talking about personal things. Mm. Or David Vernon, one of the two. Brother, I'm about as mad as a wet head. He'll just send him a tirade. And he'll be mad as fire about something. I'll delete this because it'll bother you. Okay. Because there's nothing to hide.
Mm-hmm.
I said there's nothing to hide.
That's right, bro. There's nothing.
My wife knows my past. There's things she doesn't need to know. It doesn't affect our marriage. There's people she doesn't need to know because it doesn't affect our marriage. Because she knows the overview of my past. I don't brag about it. I don't talk with her about it. Mrs. Gearhart asked me the first couple of months when I found an interest in her. They sat down and talked with me in November of that year. And I told her, I was a pig. I looked like a hog. You deserve it. But God made it clean.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Honesty with God when you hear that voice. I've preached probably 10 times this last 8 days. Had a head cold the last 2 days. Doing much better today. Thank the Lord for that. Been getting up 5:30 every morning. Beseeching the Lord on behalf of the people of God. We're exhausted. We've enjoyed ourselves.
Thank you.
But we'll leave here in travail of soul.
Oh, amen, brother.
Because it's those that will not heed the voice of God. Mm. And we'll even go to our next appointment. A couple of weeks, we'll be in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. The next week, we'll be in Blaine, Pennsylvania. If the Lord permits, the Lord gives us strength, the Lord wills it, we'll be there. But our hearts will be heavy here. Our hearts will be in sorrow here. Because those that will not heed the voice of God. Let me just say this in closing, 8 days, 10, 11 messages at least. You know what the problem is? When God's voice does come, we deflect it.
That's right.
Push it away.
That's right.
We don't want to hear what God has to say to us. God put his finger on your life.
Sure.
And it's miserable.
Yes.
And it's awful. And it's uncomfortable. But you'll deal with it or you'll perish.
That's right. No other way.
Can I say this in the authority of the Word of God? There's freedom in the truth.
Yes.
Because the truth will make
That's right.
you free.
Thank you, Jesus.
The chains are gone. My heart is free. A rose went forth and followed me. What a joy when all the chains have fallen away.
Yes.
And you're new in Christ.
Amen.
What a difference. The work of God is the voice of God.